This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Are communist women going to end Western civilization? We'll talk about that tonight. We'll talk about how Kamala's doing on the campaign trail, why they're campaigning in that way. We have such a huge show for you tonight on I'm Right. Okay, before we get into politics and the West and communism, and we have a great show tonight, Ali Beth Stuckey and things like that. We have to do something that we have to do a lot on this show. We have to honor the fallen. We honor the fallen in training as well, not just combat, in training. For you new viewers, and I know we have a lot of them, you should know I have a special place in my heart for those who die in military training. Because they never get the glory of the ones in combat. You know, there's always kind of this stigma attached to it. Ooh, that kind of sucks. It was training. They're every bit as brave as the ones who die in combat. Military training has to be dangerous. Otherwise, you don't have a very good military. It has to be life-threatening. That's how it has to go. And so when people do training exercises, things happen in training, things happen in peacetime, and they give their lives in service to this country, they are heroes as well, and their names deserve to be heard, and their names deserve to be remembered. We lost 2 naval aviators this last weekend, Washington State last week. It was a training exercise, and we wanted to give out their names here because it's been finally released. Lieutenant Commander Lindsey Miley Evans and Lieutenant Serena Doug Weilman. Both of them were 31 years old. They lost their lives, gave their lives in service to this country. And it's actually, I was about to say it's funny. There's nothing funny about it, but it's ironic, I guess you should say. Last week when I was in Montana for my father's funeral services and things like that, there was an aviator there. I'm not going to say which branch. We don't have to get into that, but there was an aviator there, someone who does exactly what these ladies do. And he was discussing with me, we had some time to break bread, their training and the things they have to do for training, things that are crazy. I'm not a nervous flyer or anything like that. Things that just made me sit there, just listening to him describe the kind of training they have to do made me go, oh gosh, it's a very dangerous profession. And it has to be a very dangerous profession. And We respect these ladies, respect their service, respect their sacrifice. Please say a prayer for their families, okay? All right, now let's shift gears to politics. It's been a fascinating campaign to watch. The two different campaigns, the Harris campaign versus the Trump campaign. It's been fascinating. One, Trump. How open Trump is. And this can burn him too, remember. His Trump, you either kind of love him or hate him. Most people do. I'm not really like that. I don't feel that way about any politicians. But most people love Donald Trump, or they really, really despise Donald Trump because he has such a strong personality. He's so unapologetic about who he is, what he believes. So there's that. But Donald Trump is doing everything. I have never, ever seen, in fact, there has never been a Republican presidential campaign that has operated the way the Trump campaign has operated, meaning he's going on podcasts and things that I've never heard of, but ones my sons have heard of. Kind of these younger podcasts, not even necessarily political podcasts. You name it, Donald Trump is doing it. Remember, he showed up in a completely hostile environment to the Association of Black Journalists. He's showing up in barbershops in the Bronx. Donald Trump, to his credit, is bearing his soul and laying it all out there, reaching everyone he possibly can. Then there's Kamala Harris. And this kind of leads me to our conversation for tonight, which is much, much bigger than the Kamala Harris campaign. It's about you and me and who we share a country with. Let's use this as an example. I want you to picture something. I want you to picture you're walking through an asylum, you know, where they keep crazy people who are having mental health issues. We should just call them crazy people. But I want you to picture an asylum. And you're walking down the asylum, and you have all these people are yelling and screaming. It's an asylum. It's the way things are. And you look through the window. You walk up to one of the cells, one of the holding places, and you look through the window, and there's a man in there. He's in a padded room, and he's in there talking about the most insane things in the world. He's claiming he can fly. He's claiming he is Jesus reincarnated. He is claiming that the color green is poisonous. And you're sitting there saying to yourself, as you watch him, that guy's insane. Why? Well, he has created a reality in his mind out of nothing. He lives in a world of make-believe. So you have this guy pictured, right? You have him pictured in your head. Here's the reality of life for you and me right now in the year of our Lord 2024. We share a country with a lot of people, not one man in a padded cell, with a lot of people who reside in a world that is just as unreal as that made-up guy in the padded cell. The American Democrat resides in a world, not of biased, not it's shaded to the left, entirely of make-believe. The average American Democrat believes Donald Trump told them to inject bleach during COVID. It's on camera. Doesn't matter that it's on camera. That's not what he said. The average American Democrat believes that. The average American Democrat believes Donald Trump colluded with Russia. The average American Democrat believes Donald Trump called Nazis very fine people. These are a couple small examples. The average American Democrat believes George Floyd was killed by Derek Chauvin in Minneapolis. They believe these things. They believe them all the way. And I could go down the list. They believe things that are simply factually wrong. They live in a world of make-believe. But why? Well, here's why. Remember, the American communist is a herd animal. This is a mistake people on the right make. Maybe you have made this mistake. I certainly have made this mistake in the past of believing that everyone wants to be free. Freedom is great. Surely this is something everyone wants. That's a complete lie. Lots of people want it. You want it. I want it. A lot of people don't want to be free. They want to be taken care of. They want to be part of a herd. They enjoy the safety of the herd. They want to be told where to go, what to think, what to eat, what to drive. But there are a lot of people who are built that way. We call these people Democrats. And once you become part of that herd, you can be led in any direction the shepherd wants to take you. And you're happy to be led in that direction because at least you have the safety of the herd. Democrats understand, because of their control of the media and their control of the education system and their control of the entertainment industry, they understand that they can build the world of make-believe around their voters. They do it all the time. Kamala Harris did a town hall. Now, the idea behind a town hall is you as a candidate, maybe you're already in office of some kind, maybe you're running for office of some kind. I've done town halls back when I was running for Congress. The idea is people are allowed to show up. People like you, people like me, normal civilians are allowed to show up. And they are, because we live in a representative republic, they're allowed to ask questions. That's the whole idea behind a town hall. Normal people allowed to ask questions of the candidate on stage. Somebody showed up at a Kamala Harris town hall thinking that was going to be the idea yesterday. And no, 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 you see, you don't understand. It wasn't a town hall. They're building a world of make-believe.
You're not, unfortunately. We have some predetermined questions, and hopefully I'll be able to ask some of the questions that might be in your head. I hope so.
Hey, can we ask some questions? Oh, no, 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 no. Did you think this was a real town hall? No, no, we've predetermined some questions. We must keep you in this facade. I've explained it this way before. A movie set, you ever seen a movie set or a TV set? I saw it one time. I saw a daytime filming of the old TV show King of Queens. And I'd never seen something like that before, but it was fascinating. You sit up in the stands and you look down in this house, the living room where they were. It's just a couple fake walls, a couple fake couches, a couple fake windows. There's nothing there. You're on a movie set. That's the world the average American Democrat lives in. Kamala Harris's campaign is now so controlled, her staffers are calling on reporters for her.
We're going to go to Colleen at the AP.
Hi. Madam Vice President, do you think that Republican voters, and specific women voters, will be more likely to vote for you because of the fall of Roe?
Now, let's talk about that. The fall of Roe. You see, this is the one area. I mean, look, you can ask Kamala Harris about immigration, ask her about the economy, and she'll give you some crazy word salad answer, doing the best she can to filibuster long enough so she doesn't have to answer the question because she doesn't know about the issue, and she knows her answer on the issue is dreadful and something people will hate. But you get this woman revved up on abortion, and she can go.
When the issue of the freedom of a woman to make decisions about her own body is on the ballot, the American people vote for freedom, regardless of the party with which they're registered to vote.
Very comfortable answering that. And that leads me to a separate conversation. You know, I understand that women, young single women, I should note, this generally doesn't apply to married women as they get older, but young single women are more susceptible to societal pressures than any other group. Married men, single men, they just simply are. Women are more anxious souls, more worried about being accepted in social situations. That's just the way we are. It's the way God made us. But the issue is the communist has understood that for the longest time, and he has used that for the longest time. And here's the truth. There are a lot of women in this country who are single-issue voters. They vote for abortion. It doesn't matter if the border's open, inflation's bad, World War III. It doesn't matter that a Venezuelan gang just raped and murdered a woman in the apartment next door. There are a lot of women in this country who are single-issue abortion voters, and Democrats know it. I remember when I moved to Virginia for a year when I was in politics. Virginia was very much a swing state back then, so I got all the election commercials you could handle, and almost every one of them, this is back in the Obama era, was about abortion. Abortion, abortion, we'll give you abortion, all the abortion you want. This is an issue that is a winner for Democrats. It's why they drag up actresses like Julia Louis-Dreyfus for ads like this.
Okay, let's cut to the chase. Donald Trump and his merry band of yes men are obsessed with what we women do with our bodies. They want to reach into our doctor's offices and our bedrooms to control our access to birth control and IVF and, of course, abortion, even though they wouldn't know a uterus if they had to crawl out of one for a second time. I don't know about you, but I'd really like to get the government out of my f***ing.
Lovely. Don't roll your eyes, though. Look, you can hate that, and I do, but don't roll your eyes. The truth is, there are legions and legions of women in this country and, frankly, in the West who are more than willing to burn down all of Western civilization as long as they're allowed to continue murdering their babies. We see it in poll after poll after poll. There's a reason they run ads. There's a reason Kamala Harris talks that way. There's a reason they drag up actresses to talk that way. Owen Schroyer, who I'm a fan of, went to a college campus recently, and don't think this is just a couple random college kids. This is, the polling shows, this is how young women vote in this country.
What do you like best about her plan for America?
Well, reproductive rights for women, for starters.
And why do you like Harris?
I just like what she stands for. I like her as a person. She has personality. She's nice, and she believes that the majority of people should have rights.
What views of Kamala's do you like?
Well, like abortion policy views.
Abortion? Any other issues that are key for you?
Not really.
Just abortion is the main issue?
Yeah.
So, allow me to speak to the communists who hate watch this show. Right, everyone else gets it, but allow me to speak to the communists who hate watch this show for a moment. You communist ladies who maybe vote that way. I know you love abortion. I got it. Obviously, I disagree with you. I got it. I understand. I understand you've been getting conditioned to love it. I get that at all. But you better hear me here. You really, really, really don't understand what it's going to be like for you if Western civilization falls. I know it sounds so nice, but do you understand what happens to women in particular when civilized societies crumble? Maybe put away the TikTok videos for just an hour. Pick up any book about a civilized society in the past that has crumbled and how it goes for women. Maybe consider that next time you walk in a voting booth and vote for Democrats so you can slaughter your baby to get drunk at spring break. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We will talk to Ali Beth Stuckey about this next. She has a lot to say about it. And along those lines, allow me to talk to you about an organization. I love them so much. They do God's work. They walk into the lion's den. Preborn has pro-life clinics. Not just in comfortable places, they don't do that, in the highest abortion areas of the country, Buffalo, New York, places like that where abortion is done by the dozen. Preborn sets up their clinics there and they offer these young women hope. They offer them free ultrasounds. If a woman gets an ultrasound, she chooses life almost every time. Care if she needs it, if she needs substance abuse help or if she needs to get away from an abusive spouse. Preborn is there being the hands and feet, saving these lives. And when you support Preborn, that's what you do. It's not, and by the way, it's tax deductible. That ultrasound costs $28 if you'd like to buy one for a young lady, but you can give them $28,000. I don't care what you give them, it's all tax deductible. Preborn.com/Jesse. Please consider saving a life tonight, all right? We'll be back.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put 2 and 2 together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
My daughter's 22 and a half, is a feminist, incredibly strong, and has just inspired me in so many ways. I love her.
I'm the proud dad of Ella over here.
My vote for Kamala is an investment in my daughter's future.
I agree. I'm right there with you.
When the Dobbs decision came out 2+ years ago, I heard from Kamala right away, and then the next person was Ella. She texted me right away, essentially saying, we need to fight. This is not just an issue for women. This is an issue for men and families. And this is one of the many, many reasons why we've got to elect Kamala as president.
Never in my lifetime did I think that we would be having to fight for this and the fight for our own bodies. And I think it's really important for the men to step up and show that they actually support us and they're willing to put things on the line to help us.
Fight for our own bodies. Joining me now, my friend Ali Beth Stuckey, author of a book that it's really, boy, it nails it, what has happened to the West, one of the reasons it has happened to the West, called Toxic Empathy, How Progressives Exploit Christian Compassion. Ali, it blows me away. It sickens me. I know you're not exactly thrilled about it yourself, but the truth is half this country loves abortion enough to burn it down so they can continue having them, and people have a hard time understanding why.
Yep. Absolutely. And when you hear these celebrities say why they're voting for Kamala Harris, whether it's Steph Curry or Taylor Swift or Jennifer Lawrence or Ben Stiller, their number one reason is always abortion, not the economy, not that they think that she's the adult in the room who's going to help, you know, bring us back on track when it comes to foreign policy or whatever. It is literally the slaughter of unborn children. And when you tear away their euphemisms, which they always use, you see what they're talking about. They're talking about poisoning and dismembering babies. That's what they want to fight for. That's what Kamala Harris is most animated about. That's what she worships. That's what Tim Walz loves. You see that in the debates. That's when they become most animated. And it's really important for us to just get rid of the propaganda for a second and talk about what they're really celebrating.
Yeah, it is. And I actually had an email to my show last night. Guy was trying to understand why they love it so much. And you put it a lot more eloquently than I do, and I'll hand you the floor. But I tried to explain that we're dealing with evil forces. We're dealing with demons. We're dealing with the devil himself. And in every demonic society in history, we're not unique. Child sacrifice has been simply a central part of it. The Phoenicians, the Aztecs, I mean, more people, more societies than we can name, you sacrifice your most pure, your most innocent for whatever your selfish desires have to be. If you're an Aztec, you want the rain to fall on the crops that year. If you're an American young lady, you want to be able to go get hammered in Tijuana on spring break. And that's simply what evil societies do.
Yep, you put it so perfectly. There's always been practical reasons for child sacrifice. Yeah. There was, you know, as you just mentioned, the Aztecs believed that sacrificing their children would give them good weather. To them, that wasn't just spiritual. That was just a pragmatic choice that I give the god this, this god will give me something in return. Well, today we don't have normal paganism. We kind of have a neo-paganism. We've exchanged the god of scripture for the god of self, and the god of self is relentlessly demanding. It wants to meet its own needs and fulfill its own wants no matter what. That's why you hear this language of bodily autonomy. It wants control at whatever cost, even when the cost is the blood of unborn children. Children get in the way of people's selfishness. That's actually what makes them awesome. That's what makes parenting amazing. That's why families make societies flourish. But if you worship yourself and you worship self-gratification and children are an obstacle to that, you can see why someone would fight tooth and nail to ensure that they can keep aborting their children.
Allie, in your book, you talk about misplaced motherhood. I love that term, misplaced motherhood. What are you talking about?
Yes, I think that accounts for the reason why many women, at least, have joined the social justice movement. And I really started to see this the most in the summer of 2020, when a lot of professing Christians that I know probably would consider themselves conservative, they were echoing, riots are the voice of the unheard, and I really need to check my white privilege. I'm going to raise my white son as an anti-racist. And I thought, where in the world is this coming from? And then they would talk about helping the least of these, helping the most vulnerable. And what they meant by that was Black Americans or illegal immigrants or a woman who is pregnant and needs an abortion. And what I think is that is just channeling our natural motherhood instincts into hoisted up victims. And a lot of women now, they have chosen their pets and plants over children. And when that doesn't fulfill, they look for other ways to channel their natural nurturing, and social justice causes gives them a very convenient and posh and sophisticated and lazy way to do that. So I think that's at least part of why so many women are drawn to these social justice left-wing causes.
Allie, I'm, as you well know, I'm very rude and a barbarian and a terrible person. So I put things in ways that offend people. I realize that, even when I don't intend to do so. But I do talk a lot about how young women, especially young single women, not as much for married women and older women, but young single women are so much more susceptible than everyone else to societal pressures. And I know this goes back to a lot of what you were just saying, social acceptance. Like, it's just women are more built that way. When we walk into a party, it's my wife who's more likely to say, please don't embarrass me, whereas I'll say something crazy. It's the way it is. And that eats young women alive. And the dirty communists know that, and they exploit that all the time.
Yeah, you know, women love relationships. We are just more relational. We don't really compartmentalize things. Everything kind of runs together. That's one of the beautiful parts of women. That's why motherlessness is so rare throughout history, because it is so counterintuitive and counterinstinctual for mothers to abandon their kids. That bond there is just so strong. We are very loyal creatures in a lot of ways. Of course, I'm speaking generally. And we are very empathetic people. It's not hard for most women to put ourselves in the shoes of other people and to think from their perspective and to see what they see. That can be a good thing. That could lead us to selflessness. That could lead us to love, to carrying someone's burden, but it can also lead us to stupidity. It can lead us to evil. There are many examples of that. And these are the examples that I give in my book in each chapter. But one example, of course, is the whole trans phenomenon. If you have so much empathy for the man who says that he is stuck in the wrong body and he pleads with you to support him going into a woman's bathroom because only then he will finally be liberated and feel good and feel happy, then your empathy could lead you to supporting a policy that violates the rights of women and girls. That's what empathy does. It has the power to blind you to reality and morality. It has the power to bid you to ignore the person on the other side of the moral equation. That is true when it comes to abortion. It's true when it comes to gender. It's true when it comes to the definition of marriage, something a lot of conservatives don't want to talk about. It's true when it comes to illegal immigration. It's true when it comes to justice or social justice. And in all of these areas, we see Christian compassion exploited for really terrible means. And the policies that we end up supporting in the name of love and tolerance actually end up hurting the very people a lot of so-called progressive Christians say they're trying to help.
No doubt. Allie, how much of this do you lay at the feet of men? I lay most of it at the feet of men. It is our job to lead. And if this society is run by a bunch of hags, it's the fault of men. But that's me speaking. What do you say?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people say that this toxic empathy is the result of the feminization of our culture, which I don't disagree with. But gosh, I see this probably most prominently in the church. And that means that it's a lot of male pastors that have bought into this, that are too afraid of offending their congregants. And so they will echo the mottos of the world, thinking that they can be nicer than God, thinking that they can out-compassion God by disagreeing with what his word says about these things. And so, yeah, I mean, of course, everything rises and falls on leadership. And of course, men have a role to play in all of this, and as do women.
Yeah. Now, that's when I lost my eunuch pastor in my eunuch church back when George Floyd left. Allie,
yep.
You are the best. We'll talk again soon. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Speaking of which, gentlemen, you need to get your T levels up. Have you ever looked around and thought to yourself, oh, I'm really scared. What if women think I'm mean? You need to get your T levels up. But let's set that aside. Are you tired a lot, gentlemen? Are you having trouble focusing more, like you didn't have that problem? Are you down a lot? You get depressed inexplicably sometimes. You have low testosterone. It is not your fault. You drink estrogen. It's in the water. It's in the plastics. We freaking shower in it. It's a societal-wide problem. We have to fight back against it naturally. That's what Chalk is about, fighting back naturally. 20% increase in your T levels in 90 days by taking natural herbal supplements? Stop sticking needles in your arm. Stop ignoring the problem. You want to feel 20 years younger? Dig into it. And it's Chalktober. They're giving out freebies. Chalk.com. It's not just for men either. There are endless natural herbal supplements. Men, women, you name it. Chalk.com/JesseTV is where you go save a pile of money. Take advantage of Chalktober. We'll be back.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars,
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay. Election Day is when? Well, no, it's not coming. Election Day is here because early voting is here. Every day is Election Day now. Today, tomorrow, every day. Well, how are we doing? I want to know. Are we going to win? I don't know. Let's talk to Seth about it. Look, he's former Army. We'll try to get the best we can out of him. Joining me now, Seth Keschel, not only former Army, Afghanistan. He's an election analytics expert. Okay, Seth, early voting, I realize there's a bunch of states, a bunch of swing states that matter a lot, Nevada, Georgia. What's happening? Are we winning? Are we losing? Should I start crying now?
You know, we all lived through the safest and most secure election of all time in 2020. So I think it's pretty normal for people to have some trauma wounds from that election. And the GOP has been bigger about getting out the early vote and competing with the mail-in vote. Now, I've got my opinions about the whole thing, but right now the numbers look horrible if you are a Kamala Harris supporter. And one of the bigger tells right now is Florida in-person early voting. Yesterday, when it started, Democrats had a 7-point turnout edge from the mail-in voting, and it's now R+4 and getting worse. And I'm watching Duval County in Florida because it's a perfect mirror for the state of Georgia. They move right, they move left together, and it's really not looking good for her in Georgia either. Turnout in core Atlanta, Fulton, DeKalb, Clayton counties is way down. The electorate in Georgia is much whiter there than it was in 2020, and same in North Carolina. And we can go all the way across the map. You mentioned Nevada. Republicans are leading turnout there, mail plus early voting in Nevada. So I don't know that anything is looking up for her.
Okay, do you know why? What is obviously I don't need any excuse to despise Kamala Harris. You and I could talk about this all day long, but why aren't the voters turning out? Democrats always turn out. They turn out in meaningless local elections. To their credit, they turn out in off-year elections. Why are they not turning out this year? Or is it that we are turning out in such huge numbers?
It's a bit of a mixed bag. You know, they amped up their turnout artificially with 2020, loosening the laws, making sure that everybody had a mail-in ballot. In fact, if the hurricane that struck Western North Carolina would have hit Philadelphia, they'd be dropping off ballots in the apartments with drones. So the turnout issue for them is going to be down. They don't have the sugar high from 2020, but they're missing a key chunk of their coalition. The Democrats that are turning out are the white, old white liberals, and you can find them in suburban areas and suburban house districts. I've seen the numbers out here in Arizona. But the core Obama coalition, the minority working class, they are not coming out, especially the men. It's evident in places like Atlanta or places that register voters by party, where everything is trended much more Republican in the early vote. And of course, the GOP always wins election day voting. And as the clock ticks by, you see behavioral things that I pick up on, like Tim Walz is going to campaign in Kentucky, Harris is going down to Houston, and these are not focused on battleground states. So I'm curious, especially given the fact that the LA Times won't endorse a presidential candidate, if they're beginning the process of throwing in the towel.
Okay, so walk me through that, because this is not the first time I've heard this, that it almost seems as if they're abandoning her. Is this about protecting down ballot? Because I have heard from my sources panic in various Democrat senatorial campaigns that they think they are going to possibly lose their races because of her. Is that what this is about?
You can see that in the Rust Belt states most appropriately. You've got Bob Casey running for Senate in Pennsylvania, who's now running ads talking about all the Trump policies that he supported. His polling is neck and neck. Now, I don't really do polling. I do voter registration trends and behavioral trends. But in Michigan, you have Slotkin running for Senate there against Mike Rogers, who put out on an internal leak that their polling has Harris several points underwater and she's running apart from her. And Tammy Baldwin in Wisconsin is doing the same in her Senate race, trying to distance and not campaign with Harris. So clearly, given the fact that she's probably never held a hammer, a wrench, or worn a hard hat in her life, she's not somebody that's bringing up the working class coalition in those states that she needs to win. Her only path is to hold all three of Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin at this point.
Okay. Can she? I don't want to get overconfident. I don't want to get cocky. I know the problems she's having with men and minorities and others. Does she have a path to victory right now?
Right now, the Democrat edge with mail-in ballot returns is trending down to where it looks like they're only going to be up about 20 points on election day with the mail returns. It was over 40 points in 2020 when an Irish Catholic named Scranton Joe from northeastern Pennsylvania barely squeaked out Pennsylvania with what I would call a quasi-election going on. So I don't think Pennsylvania looks good for her. And not only that, I think Pennsylvania looks like 2016 Ohio. All 63 out of 67 counties in Pennsylvania are on a Republican trajectory in voter registration since 2020. And the four that aren't are on a Republican trajectory here in the last month. Philadelphia County looks like it's probably going to give her a margin of 60,000 less or so than they're used to based on registration numbers and voter roll purges alone. So Pennsylvania has all the makings of a low-grade red state, working-class red state. Michigan's going to be tough. They have the cheat machine really fired up there with 83% of the population registered to vote when only 77% of any population is over the age of 18. That's been out in the news here lately with Jocelyn Benson trying to get ahead of that, going after Elon Musk. And Wisconsin pairs up with Iowa. Iowa is now an R plus 10 state when it was R plus 1 in 2020. They've never been more than 9.8% apart since 1956. So Trump looks like he's getting in the process of flipping Wisconsin in the same way he did Iowa in 2016.
Seth, I'm cutting you off because I'm so happy right now. I don't want to talk anymore. Thank you, Seth. Come back soon. I appreciate it, brother. I'm not getting my hopes up. Don't get your hopes up. We have work to do. But it looks like it might be a really big year. Might be? I don't know. Look, I don't know. We'll see when the time comes. Look, pick up the phone and call somebody. And tell them to get to the polls and tell them to bring a friend to the polls. Act like we're 10 points behind. And you know that call is going to go through because I know you already switched to Pure Talk, right? You know, the patriotic cell phone company. You don't still pay Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile every month. One, you're paying them too much. I switched from T-Mobile. My bill got cut in half. Two, the CEO of Pure Talk fought for this country in Vietnam. They hire Americans in customer service. When you talk to them at Pure Talk, they speak English and they understand it. And they're on the same 5G network. So do your electioneering on your Pure Talk phone, all right? And switch. Save a bunch of money. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. You can keep your phone. You can keep your number. It's trouble-free, all right? We'll be back.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put 2 and 2 together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, let's have a talk, a heavy talk. We'll get to Adam in a moment because he has a lot to say about this, but about the two things that end nations. It's, look, these things end nations. You really can't. You can't do either of these things en masse and continue having a country. Debt and immigration. You cannot. It's not that you can't have debt. Of course you can have debt. It's not that you can't have people immigrate. Of course you can have people immigrate. But when those things happen en masse and they become uncontrolled, your nation, well, the clock is ticking. In the United States of America, you may think, I may think I have a good idea of how many people we have imported into this country, but Adam Johnston, to his credit, broke it down. He's a contributor to The Federalist. He broke it down in more detail, and the numbers are staggering, sad. I don't know what you want me to say, but it ain't good. Joining me now, Adam Johnston with The Federalist. He's also founder of the website Conquest Theory. Adam, you were the one who broke down the numbers. I did not break down the numbers. You're the one who did the research. Talk to me. What do we have here?
Well, Jesse, the essence of the thread and the piece that I had in The Federalist was basically the levels of illegal and legal immigration that are currently in the country, both actually now, as well as projected in the future, is a disaster for our country, unless it's severely restricted, and not only restricted, but reversed. Because if we don't do both of those things, this could end the nation as we know it and currently understand it. And the numbers are pretty staggering. I mean, today, the total born foreign population, immigrant population, this is both legal and illegal in the country, is approximately 51.6 million people, which represents around 15.6% of the population, which is the highest in history. Approximately 16.8 million of those are illegal immigrants. And what's really staggering, if those aren't bad enough, is that in less than 4 years of the Harris-Biden administration, they've imported essentially 7 million immigrants, both legal and illegal. And of that number, we're talking about ICE recently just released some data talking about the criminal aspect of this. So they were talking about how 425,000 non-citizens are convicted criminals and 222,000 are non-citizens or pending criminal charges. And these are not being detained. These are on what's called the non-detained docket, which means they are essentially released into the country, awaiting whatever trial they're supposed to show up to or deportation proceedings or whatnot. And approximately 13,000 of those are illegal immigrants that have already been convicted of homicide, with 1,800 that are pending homicide charges and 16,000 that have been convicted of sexual assault. So Kamala Harris basically said we have to, quote unquote, you know, fix our current immigration system. But what they really mean by that is they need to, they're trying to expand the avenues for citizenship, because that accomplishes fixing the broken immigration system by expanding opportunities for legal citizenship, which gets them a reliable voting block, because who wouldn't want to vote for the party that granted you the opportunity to become an American citizen? And then subsequently, and this probably is not talked as much as it should, but the GOP also benefits from this, because, you know, traditionally GOP has been the party of big business, not the Democrats aren't, but this also allows them to have their steady influx of cheap labor. And those two things alone basically define our immigration system, where if you're talking about 7 million immigrants coming into the country in 4 years, and you project that out with another Harris administration, that essentially would mean the end of the nation as we know it and currently understand it.
Adam, I want you to explain that concept. This is something I've gone into before, but I want people to have the different perspective on it. Why is it nation ending? I mean, sure, it's not good to have a few extra robberies and a few extra murders and rapes mixed in there, but why is it end the nation? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, well, you know, traditionally nations are bound together by communities with shared history, culture, values, things of that nature. And when you bring in a huge influx of people that are that do not share that already established culture, that brings with it, it essentially, it diminishes what the nation was. And it essentially diminishes what the nation was and changes what it will be in the future. There's something called, I've seen this online, and I actually wrote about it too. It's called the multicultural iceberg. And that's something that America is actually sailing right into right now. And the leftists like to point out where, you know, multiculturalism, diversity is the strength of nations. And they cite things like, oh, the diversity of food and language, literature, music, things of that nature. But these are really only surface level aspects of multiculturalism. Below the surface are things like, how do you raise your children? What are your view of the family? What are gender roles, things of that nature. And those things inevitably clash with the current host nation's culture to the point where you start to now have enclaves of different cultures within local communities. And that breaks down the social fabric of a nation as well, from on a local standpoint. And then you project that out over the course of years or decades, those local enclaves now become, you know, nationwide. And that essentially then diminishes what it means to be a cohesive nation.
Yeah, God, I think that is set. Okay, I want to make sure I get to this piece in your Substack, which was great, by the way, how the left weaponizes misinformation to silence the right and shape public opinion. Adam, I opened up the show tonight actually talking about the world of make-believe the average American Democrat lives in. It's almost like it's a movie set. They genuinely believe things that are simply not real, a lot of things. But you wrote the piece, please.
Yeah, so in terms of misinformation and disinformation, a lot of times, mostly, the left will talk about that, and basically anything that undermines their current narrative is misinformation or disinformation. John Kerry and Hillary Clinton both were talking. Kerry was talking about the world at the World Economic Forum, talking about how the First Amendment is a real big impediment for them kind of getting a hold on misinformation and disinformation. Hillary Clinton was talking about how they want to repeal Section 230 or maybe even criminally charge people for what they would call disinformation, which is essentially is any information that they didn't like. And we have to remember, too, that back during the Hunter Biden laptop scandal, that was called disinformation. They were also talking about the origins of the COVID lab leak. That was disinformation. Both those instances turned out to be true, and they were not disinformation. But what those two things did was they undermined a narrative. And the narrative is something that's very important in order to keep the regime's hold on power together. And that's why they really want to attack disinformation and misinformation in that sense. Actually, there was just a story today that Matt Taibbi broke, talking about how, I'm looking at my notes here, the Center for Countering Digital Hate, the founder of that, there was leaked documents talking about how their main mission, and their founder is actually advising the Harris campaign, and their main mission is to kill Musk's Twitter. And the essence of that is that Musk's Twitter is essentially as close to a neutral platform as we have right now, because everything else is essentially under control of the leftist Democrat machine. And they really can't even just have one crack in their narrative machine. And that's why they really have to attack Musk. And that's why they want to take down Twitter by going after their advertisers.
Adam, you're doing great work. Please keep it up. I appreciate you. All right. We have light in the mood. We need a light in the mood, don't we? Next.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's time to lighten the mood. And, well, stay on your toes out there when you're on the road.
Look at Randy Orton slithering.
Watch out!
These delivery drivers, man, they just live a life of adventure, dodging things, people's front door. Be safe out there. It's the holiday season, fellas. Be safe when you're on the road. I'll see you tomorrow.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.